You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
So you guys are with what organization?
We're with St. Vincent de Paul Society.
St. Vincent de Paul Society, and you're located over across from Tastio Donuts.
Right.
Yes. On 14th downtown.
1745.
Mm-hmm. Now, the St. Vincent de Paul Society of Inverary County was founded in 1939. Wow.
That's a relative latecomer of St. Vincent de Paul Societies. There are like 142 countries have St. Vincent de Paul Societies. And old St. Vincent himself goes back to 1617.
Oh, yeah, short time ago.
Yeah.
So I saw him walking down the street last week, you know. So that's great. I mean, I was in there the other day. You gave me a tour.
Thanks for coming. You have to come back when you can shop, though.
Yeah.
Do you, can help you find some good things.
What do you call that kind of a store? Like a
we call it a thrift store.
A thrift store.
People who come into it say, wow, this is more like a TJ Maxx.
It's crazy.
It's inundated.
Now, everybody I saw in there was a volunteer.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nobody gets paid.
No, nobody. And I would count, I'd say there was 15, 17 people in there that
day. We have over 100 volunteers.
My
counting
word.
All the seasonal people.
Now, every penny, nobody's on their salary.
Nobody gets paid. No.
Hey, we have to
no.
pay our expenses. We pay for the phone and pay for the lights and pay for water and all the things.
Who's going to pay for this radio interview?
No. You've become a volunteer.
Become a volunteer, huh?
We've got your name badge on.
No pay for Palmer.
No,
okay.
No.
All right, that's all right. No pay for Palmer. So anyway.
It's got a really interesting background if you want to know how it started.
Yeah. This one specifically or around the world?
Around the world. It was back right after the French Revolution, 1830s.
Oh, yeah, I remember it well.
There was a lot of poverty, a lot of secularism in the...
That's the French Revolution is that one, of course, the lady said, let them eat cake.
Right.
That's what kind of got it rolling.
And we don't even know that she really said that, by the way, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
she got hung by the scruff of her neck, though.
Yeah, right.
No, she didn't. She was guillotined, wasn't
right.
she?
Off with her head.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, before we go into this, though, what did you do for a living, Dan?
I did a lot of things. I was a lobbyist for a while in Washington, and I was a college president for 17 years
after. College president?
Yes.
Really? Which college?
The College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth? That's Bob Dylan territory.
Right? Yes.
Did you ever meet him?
No, but our neighbor dated him.
Neighbor dated him? You're kidding me. What did she say about Bob?
She thinks he's great. I'll tell you this, he's very good to his mother, and we have met his mother.
I don't know, is she still alive?
She was when we lived in Duluth.
We haven't lived there in a while.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if she's still alive or not.
She was a very...
I met his aunt. I was up at a hiking camp up in Killington, and she said she was Bob Dylan's aunt.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I'm friends with Arlo Guthrie now, but I've never managed to get through to him. I mean, my goal in life is to meet Bob Dylan.
Well, if you want to try again, mention Jan Davis's name. Say Jan Davis was a good
Jan
friend.
Jan Davis. I'll just say, hey, Jan Davis, you dated her? I'll call him up. I'll say, I'll say, hey, you dated Jan Davis. You remember that? Well, she says that you're my father.
That would get him. No, Jan Davis was his mother's
here to collect.
Jan Davis was his mother's best friend. And that's
how we
happened to meet her.
Yeah, because there's a fellow up there in Duluth who wrote a book about being in a recording session with Bob Dylan up there.
Who would that be?
I don't know, but it was really well done.
Huh.
See, I wish I remembered his name. I used to have a place up in Canada,
and
I remember I got really into anything to do with Bob Dylan I'm interested in, but I remember this book, and I just gobbled that book up in a few nights. But I remember it, the guy was from Duluth, and Dylan had come back, Bobby Zimmerman, a.k.a.
Yes.
Bob Dylan, had come back for some reason to the area, and they decided to do a recording with this, and he was asked to be the drummer or something, and it was the whole inside of recording an album. I think it was Blood on the Tracks or one of those, you know.
Well, if you really want to talk to the girl who dated him, I'm in contact with her all the time. I'll give you her phone.
She's alive?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
very
much so. What time would it be in Duluth right now?
Just an hour earlier.
Just an hour. Should we call her now?
You could try.
We could try.
Oh, let me think. What is her name? Or her number is 218.
Hold on. Don't give it out over the phone. Don't give it out over the air. Okay. Hold on. 218 2 1-8, and then you could write it down.
Oh, okay. 5-6-8-8. Oh, wait, I have my phone. I can look it up.
Your phone's in the car.
Oh, my phone's in the car. I said I'm not going to let it ring. Do you want to go?
No.
That's no.
Okay. That's all right.
Well, you can call our son who will give.
We'll call your son?
Yeah, he will know. He will know the number because he was also friends with this woman's son.
All right.
1-8.
So, two, yeah, that would be interesting. All right.
Mm-hmm.
7-2-5-2-9-2-4-3-6.
Well, I tell you what, we'll take a break a little later on and take care of that.
Okay.
Right
yeah.
now, let's
okay.
talk about St. Vincent de Paul.
Yeah, right.
Because so, you, so I take it you two are Catholics.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, and you go to St. Helens?
Right.
I do.
Okay, is that the only Catholic church involved in that here, or do both of them?
No, all the churches support
now,
us.
Mine Hill goes to the one out west of town.
St. John of the Cross.
St. John of the Cross.
That's a good one.
They're very supportive.
Oh, they're very supportive.
Are they?
Yes.
They
just
give us
made
a check
very
every
large
month.
Commitment to us.
Yeah. How much?
$1,000 a month.
That's wonderful.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I was, matter of fact, that's the church. Last church I went to with my mom was out there. What's the name of the church?
St. John of the Cross.
St. John of the Cross. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the last church we went to.
Oh, well, go
together.
There again. It's got a good liturgy.
I did. I went there again, but I might scare you if I told you what happened, because I don't quite understand it. But as I was there with in the church service, the priest was. You can go ahead and close that door behind you, would you? And the priest was there, and I had a vision of this great big giant raven, black as can be, above the service up there. I blink my eyes. I see things sometimes. And so at first I thought, well, that's got to be bad. It's a black bird. But then somebody said, no, the ravens are a good sign because the raven in the Bible fed the prophet. Yeah, there was a prophet.
You know more about it than we do.
Yeah.
This guy knows a lot about the Bible.
Yeah. But the ravens fed the prophet. So I thought, well, I don't know what it means, but I don't think it was a bad sign
did
at all.
Did you talk to the priest about it?
No, I probably should,
you
but
should.
I tell you what, my Uncle Jack DeLancey goes out there. My aunt, he's Irish. Our side is Irish.
Uh-huh.
She's my mother's brother.
Right in that name,
and then, yeah, Jack DeLancey. And he just turned 95. My aunt passed away a year and a half, 2 years ago, but she was 100% Sicilian. But he had a heart surgery or something a couple of years back. It's actually a few years now. And for 40 days, his lungs kept filling up with liquid from the body. Well, they're going to give up. I mean, this is it's good dooms. He says there was a young priest out there. They now moved him down to South Florida, but there was a young priest who had a gift of healing. He came in and saw him at night in there and prayed with my uncle. He said, the moment he prayed with me, I knew I was going to get better. And he immediately got better, and he got released from the hospital, and that
happens
was years
all
ago.
The time. Happens
miracles.
All the time. Miracles. We have miracles like that happen in our shop.
You do?
We do.
Wonderful.
Do you want an example?
I would
do
want an
example. Or do you
want
me to go
back
to the
founding? No, I want an example.
Okay, one day Dan was helping.
I tell you what, let me do this with him. Hey, Mr. B, are you back there? Okay, so we're going to start off again this late. We don't have to go to the ad break at the top of the hour, do we? Okay, so we're going to start off. You know, we stopped off at 25 minutes. This is going to be the second 25 minutes right here with these people, okay? So can you put the timer up and we'll just start out again now and we can edit this in, or do you want to take a break and then restart? How do you want to handle this? Up to you, boss. Let's see what hell wants to do this.
Gosh.
Because then we have to find it to be able to edit it out. You know, I don't know if you want to stop everything and start again or how you want to handle this, Mr. B.
Our nephew's a radio guy.
Okay, yeah. Why don't you do 50 minutes with them and you have a decent hand all over the place?
Well, I don't know if they're capable of doing a whole hour with me. That's a lot of talking, you know. You have a lot of miracles to talk about?
A whole hour?
Well, you said you read the Bible, right?
On occasion.
She says.
He was in the seminary for a long time.
How about, you were in the seminary?
He's almost a priest himself.
Oh, my word. Okay, well.
We don't advertise that.
No, we don't want to advertise that. I guess.
Well, sure we do. I want to talk about that.
Just say that he went to the seminary.
Okay. Okay, go ahead and start us. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. I just need another 25 minutes. That's all I need. Let's just go. We'll see. If it goes on, we'll go on. But I just need the 25 minutes. Okay, this is Rhett Palmer. It's a new day. And as you know, it's a new station. It's called WCNO, and it's 89.9 FM. It goes all the way from Melbourne, Florida, all the way down to North Miami. And according to somebody else who I know in the radio industry, it bounces over to Cuba. I'm not sure, but it's well heard. I have two very exciting people in the studio today. I have Jan and I have Dan. What's your last names?
Pilon,
okay. And they hail from Bob Dylan territory, Duluth, Minnesota. By the way, this segment we're going to focus in on the Lord, you know,
okay.
And what's happened out there. Now, how did we get in touch with each other? Did somebody accidentally call me? Or
you were driving,
oh,
and you parked at a stoplight next to one of our vans.
Yes, I was behind your van.
That was out on a pickup, and you wrote down the number and called us.
And the name is St. Paul.
St. Vincent de Paul.
St. Vincent de Paul. Mm-hmm. And Dan, you said there's how many of these around the world?
Oh, I don't know how many there are. There's 69,000 volunteers around the world, and there are St. Vincent de Paul societies in 142 countries.
Wow, that's wonderful. It was started in the 1600s?
Well,
1832.
Yeah, 1833, a guy named Frederick Ozanam founded the St. Vincent de Paul Society, but he was emulating St. Vincent de Paul, who lived in the 1600s and helped the poor.
What is, okay, so helping the poor. So the mission, is there a mission statement, or that's just it, helping the poor?
Well, helping people in need. And like last year, we helped 6,000 people in Vero Beach.
Did you really?
Yeah. We pay their electric bills. We pay their water bills. We sometimes pay for prescriptions, I'll give them clothes.
Well, I have to say I'm very pleased with this, because Jesus said many, many will come to me on that day, and he'll say, I never. So we did signs and wonders and blah, blah, blah. We made demons go in your name. He said, I never knew you. But to many others, he'll say, come in. I knew you. And they'll say, when do we know you? And he said, well, you fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked. You visited me in prison. When did we do this to you? I don't remember you, Jesus. When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Come in, for your reward is great. So we cannot be saved by good works. We're only saved by the blood of Jesus on the cross. Make no mistake, because even Paul wrote in Ephesians, if we can earn our way to heaven, then Jesus died for nothing.
Right.
So Jesus died, that's the payment. But he is expecting there to be fruit, and for us to have that fruition. Now, Jan, I've just met you recently,
mm-hmm.
but you seem to have you just always seem to be smiling. You're happy. You're a happy person.
I'm a pretty optimistic person.
You are. And my Uncle Jack is like that, too. You Catholics.
Well, that's part of it. But I also have never been involved with any organization or volunteer work that brings me as much joy as this one does.
Why? Why does St. Vincent de Paul bring you joy?
It's hard to say. Well, let me start with our mission statement. You want to?
Oh, I'd love to hear that, Jan.
It is that we are a lay Catholic organization open to all who choose to live their faith
mm-hmm.
by loving and serving neighbors in need,
mm-hmm.
or just neighbors.
Wonderful.
So,
well, that's good.
It's staffed by the most fun, happy bunch of people. It's really a great place to. We have many customers who come in just to visit. Or to tell us their problems, and people who've just been released from incarceration.
Oh, really?
While homeless. We have homeless people every day.
Do you?
And we send them over to talk
to
Dan.
Well, how do they know about you? Because here I am, a 68-year-old man. I never even heard of you. I heard the name. As soon as I saw the truck, I said, that sounds familiar.
Oh, Rhett, that really makes me sad that you didn't know where we were.
Well, you know, that's why I'm going to try to sell you some advertising.
Okay, we appreciate that.
What we need to do is get a business person to sponsor it. But people need to know about it. Yeah, we'll talk later on.
Okay. Well, the people who,
whether we do or don't, now we're trying to. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The people who are in need, there's I don't want to say it's an underground telegram exactly, but they talk to each other, and the word spreads, and there are also a number of agencies in town, the 211 phone number, if they call up, that's the number you call up.
211, yeah.
And they'll refer people to us. We work with the Salvation Army, some, the parishes, like we were mentioning St. John of the Cross. they give us money every month so that we will help people who knock on their door and say...
So Salvation Army, they're a church themselves. So in other words, you're, what do they call...
Ecumenical. You bet.
That means all-encompassing. Whether you're Protestant, whether you're non-denominational, everybody is welcome at St. Vincent de Paul.
Right, and we don't care what your religion is, and all we care is that, you know, if you have a legitimate need, we'll try to help you. There are some things we don't
do. What don't you do?
We don't do food. We send them to... Okay. There are a number of food banks. And we don't assist people with rent simply because we don't have enough money to make a major impact in that area. But we do other things.
You know, I was wrestling with myself, and I think we all do. I see a bum over at the Miracle Mile Publix, and I think, should I give him something or not? So I called my friend Joseph, and he says, well, let's just say that you had a $5 bill in your hand and blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, my word, I have a $5 bill in my hand right now. It was like he's, you know, like the Lord was speaking through him. And so I'm thinking, okay, I know if you give a $5 bill to somebody that's a vagabond or a bum or they hit hard times and they're homeless, you don't know if they're going to buy pornography or they're going to buy alcohol or drugs. But you know what? I just don't know. I think it's better to err on the side of mercy than to be judgmental. Now, obviously, if you know somebody's going to spend it wrong, then I'll say, I'm not going to give you any money, sir, but let's go into this restaurant. I'll buy you dinner if you're hungry. Or, you know, if I have to put you up in a motel for the night, whatever it might be. Or I know that St. Vincent de Paul is there, I'll take him over to see you guys.
Yeah, we don't give anybody cash.
Oh, you don't give them cash.
If you come in with your electric bill that you can't pay, we have an arrangement with Florida Power and Light, and I can go into your account at Florida Power and Light and put money on it. Then we will send them a check, you know, every week or so to cover all the money.
Over next week.
Okay.
No, I'm only kidding.
But you were asking.
God, I don't have to right now, but yeah.
You were asking how you determine whether somebody has a real need or not.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty extensive questionnaire that we ask them to fill out, and it asks about their income and where they live and on and on. And it's pretty easy to make a reasonable judgment. If we make a mistake, it's usually by helping too many people, rather than turning somebody away.
Do you ever feel judgmental or superior?
It's hard sometimes to battle that. Yeah. We try. Every morning we start with a prayer that says, let's not be judgmental. Let's help everybody. Yeah. Let's try and see the face of Christ in everyone who comes to us.
Yes.
And
how would you treat Jesus if he walked through the door?
I'd ask him what he needed.
I had a friend of mine who was a reverend once, and I used to clean carpets. He says, well, what I do it unto the Lord. He's from the Bronx, kind of had a rough exterior. I said, well, what does that mean? He says, well, if I was cleaning the carpets in Jesus' house, what kind of a job would I do? Boy, that changes everything.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about miracles. I'll tell you a miracle first, and that way you'll reciprocate. So I have a site on Facebook called Miracles Are Real. All right, so this lady has two little kids, and I've watched the video twice. You can go on YouTube and go to Miracles CBN, Christian Broadcast Network, Miracles. Or go CBN Miracle. I go to Miracle CBN. Anyway, these pop up and I watch them all the time. So this lady, it's Thanksgiving, and she has two little kids. I don't know if she's divorced or a widow, but she doesn't have a husband. They live in a little apartment complex. They have a humble little abode. They go to the park. Now it's Thanksgiving morning. They're done playing. They're going back to the house. She says, I feel terrible. All I have are two hot dogs for my children, and it's Thanksgiving. Well, all of a sudden, as they get back to the apartment complex, a lady downstairs, an older lady, says, yoo-hoo, hey, I've made this big dinner, and I've been thinking about you, and I want to invite you and your children. What? Yeah, I want to have you over for Thanksgiving. She's just living by herself. Well, they go in that day, and they have turkey dinner and all these things, and the lady even had a little package gift for each of the children. It was nice, and the end of that night, they all said goodbye and hugged and kissed and went home. So the lady says she gets up the next day. Now, this is hard to believe, but I hear stories like this. Mm-hmm. Takes a lot of faith, but of all things are possible through God. So she goes down the steps to go thank that lady again. She knocks on the door. Hello? Nobody answers. The manager comes around the corner and says, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to talk to the lady. I want to talk to the lady that lives in here. He said, there's nobody lives there. There hasn't been anybody there for months, like maybe 6, 9 months, whatever. And they go inside. She said, well, I'm sure just when we were inside last night. They go inside. There's not a stick of furniture. There's nothing.
No. Well.
Now, if God can do that, so sometimes you go, wow. And you know, you hear about these things.
You do. You do.
It's simply amazing. So I want to hear, you said at St. Vincent de Paul right here, who helps the needy. Mm-hmm. By the way, I was in there the other day. It's over on 14th Avenue in Verbiage, Florida. Mm-hmm. What an abundance of stuff.
It is. It is.
And what an abundance.
Nice things, too.
And how many, you keep growing. You have how many, you just bought the land next door, too?
We did. Mm-hmm.
Thank God it was available.
So we could use some help paying for that if anybody has any extra money.
Well, in this town, there's somebody who certainly can write the check in that and a lot more, you know. How much do you need to pay off that?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'll have to ask.
Yeah. But if anybody wants to know, you can call St. Vincent de Paul.
Yep.
It's right in the
That'd
yellow pages.
Yeah.
We don't have yellow pages.
St. Vincent de Paul of Indian River. There are two of us.
St. Vincent de Paul. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's two of them.
We serve people south of 45th Street, and the other one is closer to Sebastian. It's on 510, and they serve people north of that.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so we cooperate, but we are both autonomous.
And, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me a miracle that you've had there.
Okay, so one day there were quite a few people asking for help, and we just, right now we have to put them out in the middle of the store because there's no other space. That's why we need more space. And an older woman, a grandmother type, came in, and she said, I just got custody of my two grandsons, and I have no beds for them. And we accept good used bedding. We don't sell it, but we try to help people with it. And we had a beautiful new queen-size mattress in Springs, and she said, That wouldn't do. They hate each other. They're 10 and 12, and they fight like crazy. They would kill each other if I put them in the same bed. So a customer just happened to be walking by, and she said, excuse me, I couldn't help but overhear. I have two twin beds that I'd like to get rid of. Could you come and pick them up? So one of our volunteers just whipped over to her house, and I mean, that just doesn't happen. You know that that's intervention.
Wow, that's an amazing coincidence, you know?
It is. Well,
people help one another. It is amazing how it works. And that particular story is one of the better ones.
Now, go ahead. You were going to say something? No, but I want to know. First of all, let's tell people about the two of you. You're from where? Both Duluth, Minnesota.
No, that was our last stops. That's all.
Oh, that was your last stop. Okay. So, and you have one of your girlfriends actually dated Bob Dylan. You said.
Yes.
Your neighbor.
Yes. Susan Beasley-Lotto.
Now, you were president of a university?
Yeah, college.
College. Which college?
College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota.
Really?
Did that for 17 years.
17 years. And what did you do prior to that?
I was a lobbyist in Washington.
Oh, my word, a lobbyist.
Representing a whole bunch of little colleges just like that one.
Really?
And they got to know me, and I got to know them, and they needed somebody to come and...
So the people in development hired you as a lobbyist to go to Washington? How does that work? How does one become a lobbyist?
It just depends. We represented I worked for a group, and as a group, we represented these institutions. It wasn't so much money raising. It was making sure that the government didn't overregulate us, and sometimes to work to get programs funded at a higher level and make sure that small little private colleges were included, not just the big universities. And I knew some people who worked there, and they said, would you like to come and work with us? And we did that for 5 years.
I don't know. I have a duplistic, confusing, conflicted feelings about Washington. And, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you've got some brilliant people. If somebody's been in business and they know what it's like to meet a paycheck on Friday night, it's one thing. But I remember there was a congressman a few years back, and I don't know how you get to be a congressman and you can be this stupid. But they were there with the military, and the military wanted to expand their base on this little island. And he said, well, we better not put any more weight on that island because it'll tip over. And, of course, you know, the man who was there representing, you know, the people started to laugh and realized that this man was that stupid. that he actually thought that. I guess he thought that islands floated.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of people there who that's all they've ever done, and you can think of several probably.
And how do you get through them to know that, like you said, not to over, what did you say, to over complicate?
Well, they you know, our government has a tendency to want to control more and more, and so the objective is to keep them from doing that.
And, and what's the term you used? They wanted to over-regulate. Yeah. Regulate, yeah.
So you sometimes you deal with the people who write the regulations, you deal with the people who enforce them, and you try to educate them.
Wow. I'd love to hear more about that in the future, because I've always wondered, you know. But then you went on to become a president. Okay, this is Rhett Palmer. It's a new day. And as you know, I'm on a new station. It's called WCNO, and it's 89.9 FM. It goes all the way from Melbourne, Florida, all the way down to North Miami. And according to somebody else who I know in the radio industry, it bounces over to Cuba. I'm not sure, but it's well heard. I have two very exciting people in the studio today. I have Jan and I have Dan. What's your last names?
Pilon.
Pilon, okay. And they hail from Bob Dylan territory, Duluth, Minnesota. By the way, this segment we're going to focus in on the Lord, you know,
okay.
and what's happened out there. Now, how did we get in touch with each other? Did somebody accidentally call me? Or
you were driving, and you parked at a stoplight next to one of our vans.
Yes, I was behind
that
your
was out
van.
On a pickup, and you wrote down the number and called us.
And the name is St. Paul.
St. Vincent de Paul.
St. Vincent de Paul. Mm-hmm. And Dan, you said there's how many of these around the world?
Oh, I don't know how many there are. There's 69,000 volunteers around the world, and there are St. Vincent de Paul societies in 142 countries.
Wow, that's wonderful. It was started in the 1600s?
Well,
1832.
Yeah, 1833, a guy named Frederick Ozanam founded the St. Vincent de Paul Society, but he was emulating St. Vincent de Paul, who lived in the 1600s and helped the poor.
What is, okay, so helping the poor. So the mission, is there a mission statement, or that's just it, helping the poor?
Well, helping people in need. And like last year, we helped 6,000 people in Vero Beach.
Did you really?
Yeah. We pay their electric bills. We pay their water bills. We sometimes pay for prescriptions, I'll give them clothes.
Well, I have to say I'm very pleased with this, because Jesus said many, many will come to me on that day, and he'll say, I never. So we did signs and wonders and blah, blah, blah. We made demons go in your name. He said, I never knew you. But to many others, he'll say, come in. I knew you. And they'll say, when do we know you? And he said, well, you fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked. You visited me in prison. When did we do this to you? I don't remember you, Jesus. When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Come in, for your reward is great. So we cannot be saved by good works. We're only saved by the blood of Jesus on the cross. Make no mistake, because even Paul wrote in Ephesians, if we can earn our way to heaven, then Jesus died for nothing.
Right.
So Jesus died, that's the payment. But he is expecting there to be fruit and for us to have that fruition. Now, Jan, I just met you recently,
mm-hmm.
but you seem to have you just always seem to be smiling. You're happy. You're a happy person.
I'm a pretty optimistic person.
You are. And my Uncle Jack is like that, too. You Catholics.
Well, that's part of it. But I also have never been involved with any organization or volunteer work that brings me as much joy as this one does.
Why? Why does St. Vincent de Paul bring you joy?
It's hard to say. Well, let me start with our mission statement. You want to?
Oh, I'd love to hear that, Jan.
It is that we are a lay Catholic organization open to all who choose to live their faith
mm-hmm.
by loving and serving neighbors in need,
mm-hmm.
or just neighbors.
Wonderful.
So,
well, that's good.
It's staffed by the most fun, happy bunch of people. It's really a great place to. We have many customers who come in just to visit. Or to tell us their problems, and people who've just been released from incarceration,
A
lot of homeless. We have homeless people every day.
Do you?
And we send them over to talk
to
Dan.
Well, how do they know about you? Because here I am, a 68-year-old man. I never even heard of you. I heard the name. As soon as I saw the truck, I said, that sounds familiar.
Oh, Rhett, that really makes me sad that you didn't know where we were.
Well, you know, that's why I'm going to try to sell you some advertising.
Okay, we appreciate that.
What we need to do is get a business person to sponsor it. But people need to know. Yeah, we'll talk later on.
Okay. Well, the people
whether we do or don't, now we're trying to. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
People who are in need, there's a, and I don't want to say it's an underground telegram exactly, but they talk to each other and the word spreads, and there are also a number of agencies in town, the 211 phone number, if they call up, that's the number you call.
Oh, the 211, yeah.
Yeah, they'll refer people to us. We work with the Salvation Army, some the parishes, like we were mentioning St. John of the Cross. They give us money every month so that we will help people who knock on their door and say...
So Salvation Army, they're a church themselves. So in other words, you're, what do they call...
Ecumenical. You bet.
That means all-encompassing. Whether you're Protestant, whether you're non-denominational, everybody is welcome at St. Vincent de Paul.
Right, and we don't care what your religion is, and all we care is that, you know, if you have a legitimate need, we'll try to help you. There are some things we don't
do. What don't you do?
We don't do food. We send them to... Okay. There are a number of food banks. And we don't assist people with rent simply because we don't have enough money to make a major impact in that area. But we do other things.
You know, I was wrestling with myself, and I think we all do. I see a bum over at the Miracle Mile Publix, and I think, should I give him something or not? So I called my friend Joseph, and he says, well, let's just say that you had a $5 bill in your hand and blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, my word, I have a $5 bill in my hand right now. It was like he's, you know, like the Lord was speaking through him. And so I'm thinking, okay, I know if you give a $5 bill to somebody that's a vagabond or a bum or they hit hard times and they're homeless, you don't know if they're going to buy pornography or if they're going to buy alcohol or drugs. But you know what? I just don't know. I think it's better to err on the side of mercy than to be judgmental. Now, obviously, if you know somebody's going to spend it wrong, then I'll say, I'm not going to give you any money, sir, but let's go into this restaurant. I'll buy you dinner if you're hungry. Or, you know, if I have to put you up in a motel for the night, whatever it might be. Or I know that St. Vincent de Paul is there, I'll take him over to see you guys.
Yeah, we don't give anybody cash.
Oh, you don't give them cash.
If you come in with your electric bill that you can't pay, we have an arrangement with Florida Power and Light, and I can go into your account at Florida Power and Light and put money on it. And
no, then that's wonderful.
Then we will send them a check, you know, every week or so to cover all the money.
Over next week.
Okay.
No, only kidding.
But you were asking.
I don't have to right now, but yeah.
You were asking how you determine whether somebody has a real need or not.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty extensive questionnaire that we ask them to fill out, and it asks about their income and where they live and on and on. And it's pretty easy to make a reasonable judgment. If we make a mistake, it's usually by helping too many people, rather than turning somebody away.
Do you ever feel judgmental or superior?
It's hard sometimes to battle that, yeah. Mm. We try. Every morning we start with a prayer that says, let's not be judgmental, let's help everybody. Yeah. Let's try and see the face of Christ in everyone who comes to us.
Yes.
And
how would you treat Jesus if he walked through the door?
Whoa, I'd
have him fill out a question.
Whoa,
I'd ask him what he needed.
I had a friend of mine who was a reverend once, and I used to clean carpets. He says, well, what I do it unto the Lord. He's from the Bronx, kind of had a rough exterior. I said, well, what does that mean? He says, well, if I was cleaning the carpets in Jesus' house, how what kind of a job would I do? Boy, that changes everything. Now, I want to talk about miracles. I'll tell you a miracle first, and that way you'll reciprocate. So I have a site on Facebook called Miracles Are Real. All right, so this lady has two little kids, and I've watched the video twice. You can go on YouTube and go to Miracles CBN, Christian Broadcast Network, Miracles, or go CBN Miracles. I go to Miracles CBN. Anyway, these pop up, and I watch them all the time. So this lady, it's Thanksgiving, and she has two little kids. I don't know if she's divorced or a widow, but she doesn't have a husband. They live in a little apartment complex. They have a humble little abode. They go to the park. Now, it's Thanksgiving morning. They're done playing. They're going back to the house. She says, I feel terrible. All I have are two hot dogs for my children, and it's Thanksgiving. Well, all of a sudden, as they get back to the apartment complex, a lady downstairs, an older lady, says, "Yoo-hoo! Hey, I've made this big dinner, and I've been thinking about you, and I want to invite you and your children." What? Yeah, I want to have you over for Thanksgiving. She's just living by herself. Well, they go in that day, and they have turkey dinner and all these things. And the lady even had a little package gift for each of the children. It was nice. And the end of that night, they all said goodbye and hugged and kissed and went home. So the lady says she gets up the next day. Now, this is hard to believe, but I hear stories like this. Mm-hmm. Takes a lot of faith, but of all things are possible through God. So she goes down the steps to go thank that lady again. She knocks on the door. Hello? Nobody answers. The manager comes around the corner and says, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm trying to talk to the lady. I want to talk to the lady that lives in here." He said, "There's not nobody lives there. There hasn't been anybody there for months, like maybe 6, 9 months, whatever." And they go inside. She said, "Well, I'm sure we were inside last night." They go inside. There's not a stick of furniture. There's nothing.
Now,
if God can do that, so sometimes you go, wow. And, you know, you hear about these things.
You do.
It's simply amazing. So I want to hear, you said at St. Vincent de Paul right here, who helps the needy. Mm-hmm. By the way, I was in there the other day. It's over on 14th Avenue in Verbiage, Florida. Mm-hmm. What an abundance of stuff.
It is.
And what an abundance.
Nice things, too.
And how many keep growing? You just bought the land next door, too?
We did. Mm-hmm.
Thank God it was available.
So we could use some help paying for that if anybody has any extra money.
Well, in this town, there's somebody certainly can write the check and that and a lot more, you know? How much do you need to pay off that?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'll have to ask.
Yeah. But if anybody wants to know, you can call St. Vincent de Paul.
Yep.
It's right in the
That'd
yellow
be great.
Pages.
Yeah.
We don't have the yellow pages.
St. Vincent de Paul of Indian River. There are two of us.
St. Vincent de Paul. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's two of them.
We serve people south of 45th Street, and the other one is closer to Sebastian. It's on 510, and they serve people north of that.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so we cooperate, but we are both autonomous. And,
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me a miracle that you've had there.
Okay, so one day there were quite a few people asking for help, and we just, right now we have to put them out in the middle of the store because there's no other space. That's why we need more space. And an older woman, a grandmother type, came in and she said, "I just got custody of my two grandsons and I have no beds for them. And we accept good used bedding. We don't sell it, but we try to help people with it." And we had a beautiful new queen size mattress and springs. And she said, That wouldn't do. They hate each other. They're 10 and 12, and they fight like crazy. They would kill each other if I put them in the same bed. So a customer just happened to be walking by, and she said, "Excuse me, I couldn't help but overhear. I have two twin beds that I'd like to get rid of. Could you come and pick them up?" So one of our volunteers just whipped over to her house, and I mean, that just doesn't happen. You know that that's intervention.
Wow, that's an amazing coincidence, you know?
It is. Well,
yeah, people help one another. It is amazing how it works, and that particular story is one of the better ones.
Now, go ahead. You were going to say something? No, but I want to know. First, I'd like to. Now, let's tell people about the two of you. You're from where? Both Duluth, Minnesota.
No, that was our last stops. That's all.
Oh, that was your last stop. Okay. So, and you have one of your girlfriends actually dated Bob Dylan. You said.
Yes.
Your neighbor.
Yes. Susan B.C. Lytle.
Now, you were president of a university.
Yeah, college.
College. Which college?
College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota.
Really.
Did that for 17 years.
17 years. And what did you do prior to that?
I was a lobbyist in Washington.
Oh, my word, a lobbyist.
Representing a whole bunch of little colleges just like that one.
Really?
And they got to know me, and I got to know them, and they needed somebody to come and...
So the people in development hired you as a lobbyist to go to Washington. How does that work? How does one become a lobbyist?
It just depends. We represented the... I worked for a group, and as a group, we represented these institutions. It wasn't so much money raising. It was making sure that the government didn't overregulate us, and sometimes to work to get programs funded at a higher level and make sure that small little private colleges were included, not just the big universities. And so I knew some people who worked there, and they said, "Would you like to come and work with us?" And we did that for 5 years. So,
Well, so yeah, well, I don't know. I have a duplistic, confusing, conflicted feelings about Washington, and you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got some brilliant people. If somebody's been in business and they know what it's like to meet a paycheck on Friday night, it's one thing. But I remember there was a congressman a few years back, and I don't know how you get to be a congressman and you can be this stupid, but they were there with the military, and the military wanted to expand their base on this little island. And he said, well, we better not put any more weight on that island because it'll tip over. And, of course, you know, the man who was there representing, you know, the people started to laugh and realized that this man was that stupid that he actually thought that. I guess he thought that islands floated.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of people there who that's all they've ever done, and you can think of several probably.
And how do you get through them to know that, like you said, not to over, what did you say, to over... complicate?
Well, they, you know, our government has a tendency to want to control more and more, and so the objective is to keep them from doing that.
And what's the term you use? They wanted to over-regulate. Yeah. Regulate, yeah.
So you sometimes deal with the people who write the regulations, you deal with the people who enforce them, and you try to educate them.
Wow. I'd like to hear more about that in the future, because I've always wondered, you know. But, and then you went on to become a president of this
college, yeah.
College, yeah. And how was that? Did you enjoy doing that?
Yeah, it was fun for probably 16 of the 17 years.
What was the most fun of it?
Being with the students. I used to, that's where I'd eat my lunch. I'd go and just sit down with a table full of kids in the cafeteria.
I would think that would keep you young.
I hope so.
You know?
Yeah.
So you thought about becoming a priest when you were
way younger. Back when.
But why did you decide not to? Because you liked girls?
Yeah, a particular one.
So how long have you two been married? You just had
55 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary to you two. 55 years.
Yeah.
Yes, I was 13 when you two got married. That's pretty good. Pretty good run. How many children?
Three children.
Three children.
Mm-hmm.
And have you had any ups and downs?
Oh, nothing.
Been pretty smooth?
That completely rocked the boat, as they say. But,
no?
Yeah, life always has some challenges.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But nothing
considerable. No, we've been really blessed.
We've been,
very, very blessed.
That's funny, because my aunt and uncle, they're the same way. They're pretty smooth. They have four children, about 13 uh-huh. grandchildren now. But you have any grandchildren yet?
Six grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Six grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay, so we're talking with Jan and Dan. Now, they run St. Vincent de Paul here in Vero Beach, Florida. And I'd love to hear I'd love to hear another miracle that's taken place there, because you said there are a number
Lots of mini miracles, I'll call them.
Okay.
I have never been in the stores where there is so much paying forward.
Meaning?
Often there's a long line of people waiting to pay for things, and very often we have people who can't afford to buy all that they've chosen to buy, and the people behind them will say, oh, how much do you need? I'll do that. And actually, one time, we have a lot of people from the island, a lot of wealthy people shop there because we have beautiful antiques and
that
collectibles.
Money, and that money that they spend there goes to help
right,
the
I think right. they know they're helping the poor, but... For a
Maybe
long
they
time.
Want a good deal, too.
that too. Why not?
Yeah, what's wrong
Don't
with
we
that?
All?
Right.
Yeah. But until recently, really only about a year ago, we didn't take charge cards. And some of our volunteers said, oh, no, we must never do that because it would encourage people to spend beyond their means. We got to help people.
I can see that
well,
point of view, but the world
in this
is changing.
Society,
yeah,
everybody takes charge
cards. We're becoming a cashless society.
And we found... I like to work at the cash register, and we found that people were just getting angry. What do you mean you don't take a charge? And so we had one of those incidents where this woman had picked out a whole shopping cart full of designer clothes and expensive things.
Oh, from the island. So she wanted that stuff, but she wanted to make a donation.
Yeah. So she couldn't buy. But the person behind also had a shopping basket, and she said, what? You don't take any charges? And... the woman behind her said, well, how much money do you need? And she looked and she said, well, I guess I could, if I had another $20, I could pay for it. And so this woman just gave her $20. And she said, I can't accept that. And the woman said, oh, take it, because Jan will know that you'll come back and put $20 in the cash register, which Jan will put my name on it. So I'm not really giving it to you. I'm just loaning it to you. Yeah. But there was complete trust there.
Yes.
Which impressed
Isn't
me.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It is. You know? Yeah. You often wonder about that during the holidays. You go to if you go to the dollar store, for instance, but you don't know. You can't always judge a book by its cover because, you know, I've known people to go into a restaurant. I mean, when I was younger, and you see men come into, let's say, Vincent's Italian restaurant, and you see the guys with the jackets and the ties, usually they're lawyers, because anybody in Florida that wears a tie and jacket is generally an attorney. And they come in, when I was younger, man, I used to think, well, those are the guys that have the money. And then there's some character with a half-shaven face sitting over in the corner with a ripped T-shirt on. Well, it turns out the lawyers are having a hard time paying rent. The guy in the corner is the billionaire. You know, so you cannot judge.
You cannot judge
a book by its cover.
And we're admonished not to judge people. And we try not to do that.
No, but, you never know. But I think it's a beautiful thing that people are in line and they help each other out like that. Isn't that gorgeous?
It is. Wouldn't that make you happy? Maybe you want to come and volunteer with
us. Yeah, yeah. And it's like I'd like to stand there at Christmas time and figure out who couldn't afford something and say,
I would welcome you.
Put that on the credit card now, you know?
I'll teach you how to do bags and things.
But the credit card thing is so important because there are a lot of people who don't carry any cash or very little, you know, a few dollars, and they do everything with their credit card. And the difference that it has made at St. Vincent de Paul just about doubled our income.
You doubled your income.
Yeah. Yeah. We do about half cash and half credit cards now.
So would you say that you were doing less than $100,000 a year before the credit cards?
No. We were probably doing $250,000, and now it's $500,000.
Oh, you were doing $250,000.
I misspoke before.
Okay. So $250,000 a year, and now you're up to $500,000 a year.
Yeah, now that includes like some donations, like foundations give us money.
Which is
St. Vincent de Paul,
the place that just made you a commitment that they're
going to be. Oh, St. John of the Cross.
Yes, we are so grateful. You get a lot of places like that that contribute $500,000 a month, $100 a month.
Yeah, there's at least one Knights of Columbus group that gives us $500 a month. And
do they? Yeah, I have found the Knights of Columbus. Those are some pretty neat guys.
They are.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One guy came in here once, and he just wanted to support us. He was in the insurance business, and he was one of those guys. What's it? Knights of Columbus.
Uh-huh.
And he took out, signed an annual contract. He didn't need the advertising. Mm-hmm. He did it just because he wanted to support community radio. What a beautiful, beautiful. Uh-huh. And, of course, I remember him. We'll remember him forever. And That's a great thing. So, I love what you guys are doing over there. This is great. What a beautiful shop. If you don't know, it's over on 14th. Now, I want to talk more about, there's so many things to discuss. Now, you were going to be a priest, but you still read the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Go to church on Sunday, the whole deal.
Go to church on Sunday, yeah. And you go to St. Helens.
Right.
And we were talking about miracles and people coming in, you know. I guess I'm fascinated with miracles and why sometimes there are miraculous encounters. Some people get healed, some people don't, you know? And you wonder why, you know? Why some and why not others?
Yeah, another incident pops into my mind. One of our previous presidents was this white-haired, very genteel-looking lady in her 80s, really well in her 80s. And it was a crowded store. People were standing around the cash register. And a man came in who was obviously inebriated. He had been soiled in many ways, vomited, and he stumbled in. And this little old lady, and people started to leave. I mean, the odor was not pleasant. And she just bopped right up to him and said, "Oh, sir, let me help you find some clean clothes. Come this way." Here's the miracle in my mind. She happened to have this big black plastic garbage bag over her arm, which she gave to him, and she said, "Now go in the bathroom and take your clothes off. I'll have some clean ones at the door waiting for you."
Oh, my word.
How did she have that plastic bag on her arm?
That's amazing.
And just the image of that woman, that left an astounding impression on me.
Well, I think the Lord wants us to love the unlovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the number of families in our area who have problems that we can help with is amazing. There was a thing in the local paper, I don't know, a couple months ago, they were talking about the challenges to people in Indian River County, and it was like a third of the people here couldn't put together, like, I think the number was $400 if they had a crisis.
Yeah, you know, amazing. They're,
like, I had, before I came over here this morning, I had a couple of people. One person is, you know, Social Security and stuff, and the car went to the shop because he couldn't, you know, it broke, and he couldn't pay his electric bill. Because it was either, you know, the car or the electric bill, and they were going to shut off his electricity this morning. So we got him fixed up, and he'll be fine. But the number of people who are one accident like that away from a real problem is amazing, and it's huge, and there are lots of people in this community who help people like that.
Okay, so it's St. Vincent de Paul. It's on 14th Avenue in Vero Beach. You can find them in the Yellow Pages and or on the line, Google them. And I want to thank you, Jan and Dan, for coming in.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
You two of this college. And how was that? Did you enjoy?
Someone somewhere needs your random act of kindness. As it is written, give unto others, and your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day if you want it to be.
I love the Lord, for he has heard me. He has heard my mercy plea. From deep within my troubled heart, I cried, O Lord, save me. I love the Lord for his compassion and his gracious righteous ways. He protects the simple-hearted ones, and in my need, the Lord saw me and saved.
For as long as I live,
for as long, for as long as I live, I will call on his name. Be at rest, while that I never can repay, but I lift the cup of salvation and call upon his name. I will fulfill my vows before the Lord in the presence of his saints. Oh, make me now your servant, Lord. You have freed me from, you have freed me.
For as long as I live,
for as long as I live,
I will call
on his name.
Be at rest, my at rest.
Be at rest once more, my soul. For the Lord is good, and He has been good.
For the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good, and He has been good to me.
You can have my heart, though it isn't new. It's been used and broken, and only comes in blue. It's been down a long road, it got dirty on the way.
For every thirst and every hunger, you are.